No.
Right, we're done.
Okay, let's talk about a quick stick on of what we said yesterday. We were speaking yesterday about opening my door or window in front of in front of a council. Watch, let's say over here, someone's got some candles burning on that table there. Yeah, and he wants to open the door. So there's wind blowing, a gust of wind blowing, and he knows when he opens the door, it's very likely that the wind's gonna make the fire go out. Is he allowed to open that on Shabbos? So the Shulchan says you mustn't do it. So that's a Shulchan. We saw Reish Ein Zayin Siv Gimel. A person mustn't open up such a case. A person mustn't open up the window or the door in such a case because it's going to make the fire go out. That's an issa. Even though it's not definite, it's very, very likely, Mishnah Berurah says, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. Yeah, on that, the halacha is, even if it's not windy at the time, but it's possible a wind might come, we're also machmir actually. So if it's mamish by the door, a person should... If it's mamish a boiling hot evening, that's better. I mean, the Shulchanor's case, let's just see the Shulchanor's case. The Shulchanor's in the Reish Ein Zayin. It doesn't make a difference whether it's windy or not. It's just, it's very likely that when a door opens, first of all, a gust of wind might come in when you open the door. And second of all, it could be that the wind might come in. Right, if you're in the middle of Italy on holiday, the Moshe, the boiling hot day, it's 95 out there, whatever, I don't know, then you're tucker right. It's an interesting thing about
it. Yeah, and if after it starts going windy, you have to close it?
Once you open it, it's all right, but I think the Shulchan Aruch is not machalik between whether it's windy or not windy. I must tell you the truth. It looks like you're asking what happens if it's a case where it's mamish to have to find out. I'm not sure. I don't know. That's a good question, actually. I don't know. Okay, that's the how they come. Then we spoke about walking past lights. A person walks past a candle and when it flickers very slightly, that's the chore of nothing. That's not called changing the thing. That's no problem at all. Opening a window. Then we said also about opening a window. If it's very stuffy in the room and a person is unbearable, so then if the wind is not blowing, what can you make in such a case to open the door? So that's what we said. Okay. I want to say before I start, so there's two things we're talking about. When we're talking about now about a fire, something which catches fire on Shabbos. There's two things. Number one is that I remember I learnt with someone many years ago about these halachas, what to do if a serviette catches fire on Shabbos. So we went through the halachas, I used to learn with him, and I finished learning with him. And then he said to me, after 2 weeks after we finished learning, he said, Shlomo, guess what happened to me this Shabbos? I said, what? He said, our serviette caught fire. I said, no, what did you do? He says, don't ask. Don't ask, he says. What happens is normally, it's very normal, it's a person panics. It's very often it's like this, it's a person panics. And you must realize, first of all, that when something catches fire, I mean, sometimes it can spread very, very quickly. Huh? You know what I mean? You have to be very, very careful. This is very, very interesting. I mean, I remember once when I had a building inspector come around. I had an extension done in the house, and the building inspector came around, and he was very annoyed with me, actually, because he came to one of the rooms, a child's room, and the window locks were locked. So he said to me, that's mummy. He said, he's just been to a house in Bury, he said to me, and unfortunately, a few people died in the house because they couldn't get out from the fire. So fire, he said, can spread very, very quickly. So I said, that's important to know this. Anytime we're speaking about a chashash over here, is there any element of a risk that it's sakonos nefoshet over here? Then one has to put the fire out straight away. I must tell you, many years ago, I know someone who was a camp rov somewhere, and one of his first shilas he got was a girl tripped out of bed on Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, and she set her hairdryer off. She put the hairdryer, I was blowing out hot air. So she was very worried about it because she said if it's blowing out hot air for a long time, it can explode. So she asked the person, the rov on site there, what should she do? So the rov said, look, the best thing to do is to get a goy. Try and get a goy to switch it off. But Kitza, she came back a bit later and she said she can't find her. There's no non-Jew to find. So the rov says, look, I don't think it's dangerous. She's very, very worried. So the rov said, look, if it's dangerous, it's dangerous. And let's put it off Kilachiyat. Switch it off Kilachiyat. That's what she did. Afterwards, this person had a bit of a sophie. He wasn't sure what was the right thing, what he did. So he found out a big time of Chochem. Very interesting what this person said, actually. So he found out a big time of Chochem, and he asked the time of Chochem whether it was right what he did. The Maaser, he wasn't sure what to do. Was it right the Pesach gave? So the time of Chochem answered back to him, you were right. Because B'Shas Maaser, when you were in that situation, didn't know what it was going to be. Could have been dangerous, you don't know. So if you don't know, you have to paskin what you think. At that time, you don't know if it's dangerous or not, you have to think, you can't take a risk. Then you have to paskin to switch off. So I'm saying, if there's any element of risk to fire where it could spread and be dangerous, there's no shadow, one should put the fire out straight away. Don't give it a chance to spread. But very often, when a fire comes onto let's say, for example, a serviette catches fire, let's say, for example, yeah? So very often, it's a small little fire. It's a small thing, the serviette's caught fire. So there's a few options. The simplest thing to do is, to lift up the serviette if you can, and take it to the sink, put it in the sink if you can. I mean, that's obvious if you're nearby. Or, what else could you do? How else could you do it? What? I'm coming to water around it a minute. I'm coming around as well, water around as well. Oh, put it on a plate. You could put the serviette on a plate. That would be another answer. Put the serviette on a plate, and they'll go out. And the mice will eventually go out by itself. It'll come into ashes. The plate won't get burnt. So you could do that.
Water the plate
in the sink. Yeah, water the plate after the sink. Once it's on the plate, the mice, you might say, moving the serviette really stops its muxa. Yeah, the fire with the serviette with the fire on its muxa. But the mice, obviously, in such a case, you've got no qualms. You could take it to the sink. So if you put it on a plate, that's also a good eitzer, yeah? That would also be a good piece of eitzer. The chayra here, the thing is over here, though, when we're talking about lemosh, let's say something caught fire. Let me just find my note over here. We're talking about, obviously, again, as I say, there's no second sofoshes, right? So just caught fire, a towel, or something's caught fire. What should you do? So it's interesting here. You can't ask a knocker to put the fire out. You can't ask directly to put the fire out. What you can do, though, is some knocker shulchan aruch, you do gram kibui. Indirect extinguishing. What does that mean? That's halacha in Reish Ayin Zayin. Not Reish Ayin Zayin, so where is it? That's halacha in Reish Ayin Zayin Siv Gimel. That a person can, what you call it, do gram kibui. So it's in Shin Lamadalad, actually. I don't know why I haven't got a note of it. Shin Lamadalad it is, I think. Shin Lamadalad. Here's our locker here, about something that caught fire. Here, it's a few alochas, one after the other, yeah? All the cases over here. Teva shochas, if a teva caught fire, yocha liplois oishla gedim et sidra echoshla et sorg. For kids, you can do gram kibbutz. So what's the 80? You can put some water, let's say the table over here, let's say, for example, caught fire. Or serviette caught fire over here. So what you do is, you take, one of the answers is, you take some water. Well, water's not so ideal, it's in a minute why, but so what you do is normally, you could pour, normally on a weekday, you pour water straight over the fire. That you shouldn't do on Shabbos. That's directly putting out the fire, you can't do it on Shabbos. So what you do is, you make it indirect. You pour water, or let's not talk about water, let's talk about dirty liquids. You pour dirty liquid around the area which is going to burn.
I'm going to find this liquid.
A lemonade bottle, any bottle of Coke, bottle of grape juice, anything. You take anything which is dirty. Not dirty, dirty means it's not clear water. What's the problem with using clear water? Why can't you use clear water on your tablecloth? Oh, it's a problem with libon. Some people hold that cleaning a cloth with wet water, with water which is clean, even though the tablecloth is clean, it's still called clean. So ideally, we try to avoid this. Obviously, if it's going to take too long to get in the house, you can rely on the opinions that once a garment is clean, there's no problem pouring water over it. But ideally, what you should do is you should take Coke, grape juice, pour it around the side over here, so that when the tablecloth starts burning over there, it'll go out. I must say, when we gave the shiur last time, I think it was a joke, actually, but we always spoke about taking plastic cups and putting it around the table. Yeah, fill it with water and put it around the table. So I remember Motti at the time, when I was not here now, but he said at the time here, I'm actually wasting your time doing it, he said to me. Because it won't put the fire out. Today, I must say, I tried it out. I filled up this cup with water, and I held a match to it for, I don't know, a long, long time, actually. Mummy's a long time. Well, actually, it doesn't burn. The cup didn't burn. I still don't understand it. But the cup did not burn. I can see what I've done. You can see, Mummy's, it was held for a long time. I took a few matches, huh?
The small frame is too small.
It was a big frame, but not big, I'm saying, right. The only thing is, I'm not sure, it could be that, let's say it's filled up halfway over here, yeah? This is what happened. You could see the water. I don't know how it works. It's actually amazing, actually. The water was inside that. I put a flame, a long match, and a few long matches. I held it to it. Mummy's there. Try it out. I couldn't believe it myself. Oh, someone tried to try it. I think one of my sons is trying an experiment at home now. Actually, hopefully he's. I said, I can't believe that doesn't work.
Fire engine was there.
What?
Look at that fire engine noise there.
That's a funny thing. I couldn't believe it. I tried it. You'll hear it in Morkinson in a minute. So I put a match to it. I held it there for quite a long time. Lamaise didn't, but nothing happened. The only thing is, if Chashon is a big fire, it could be it goes over the top and it might melt it inside where there's no water and then eventually it'll pass.
Anything which is more than a tiny little fire, it's because of course, you know nothing about that poor world development.
I'm not sure why. That's what table doesn't burn straight.
Houses,
there's not a table here. You take the wire, can you put water around?
Smoke is dangerous.
Yeah, but it's not a big fire. If it smokes, you can pour water on it, but divided, there's no smoke. All you do is pour water on it. I'll tell you what, I tried another chiddush on this side. This I tried even harder. I filled up a bag with water, filled it up way high, I put elastic around it, I put a can for this maybe for a few minutes.
What?
Look, you see what I've done. It's black, there's no hole. It didn't pop it. I can't understand how it works, I must say. I don't know how it works, but it didn't pop it. I course I couldn't believe it. When he said to me there, I thought he was making a mistake. I said to him at the time, I'll try it out tomorrow. I said, you're wrong. And the maestro said, I didn't try it out. I tried it out yet today. He's right. I don't know how it works. Maybe it'll come from the top. Sorry, I don't know how it works. And maybe, like you're saying, maybe a paper cut.
A lot of glass, it gets hot and it explodes.
I don't know. And I can't understand, I don't understand the answer to this question. It's a good question, but I'm telling you, I tried that with my own eyes. I tried that out myself. I can see, I said that at this one I was worried, maybe it's only a match, is not so sharp. I took a candle. I didn't have very long to try it out, but I held the candle, mummished this bag with the water in for, mummished quite a bit of time. Not 20 minutes, not till 2 minutes, 3 minutes. A good 2 minutes it was there. The bag did not pop.
And then we've got time to experiment with the
vacuum.
I think just
fire out. I have to know. That is an interesting point. If that's true, then you have to know. So I'm saying that's a chiddush. So the only thing I can tell you is that maybe it's a big fire. Maybe that's got more koyach. Maybe the big fire will make it. I'm going to have to try it out, but it's a chiddush. So I don't know what to say. Maybe a paper cut might be different. I have to try it with a paper cut. A paper cut might be different. That's the Eitzah to do, to make it a grommet, to make it indirect, that the water spills over. That way, you've got no problem at all of putting your hand on a fire out itself. It's indirect. Indirect. Not every malach is mutter indirectly. It's a special chiddush. Ramah says over here, the machaber carries on, you can make a machitza of kenim to stop the fire. When the fire gets to a pop open, the gram kibu is mutter, says the Machaba. Gram indirect extinguishing is mutter, says the Ramah, the Mokim Seder. I mean, don't think it's a heter right across the board here that you can do grom on Shabbos. It's mutter, the Mokim Seder. Here you're going to lose your tablecloth, whatever it is, you're going to lose it. Therefore, that's why you're allowed to do it. So you're right, if there's a danger when the tablecloth is burning over here, there's going to be a huge amount of smoke, it's going to be dangerous, put the fire out straight away. If that's not the case, it's only a small fire, let's say the Serbius has caught fire by itself, and the mice are worried about going to the tablecloth or whatever, so you can put some dirt, so the best is ideally dirty water, dirty liquid, dirty, I mean it's not clear water, put grape juice, Coca-Cola, pour it around the tablecloth, so when the fire gets there, it'll go out by itself. Yeah, a plate, of course, all these things are probably even easier that way to do that. Not everyone's got everything available. You know, it's not always that's not always available for a person to do, so you can't always do that. So that's always what a person should do. This goes, I say, across the board, someone's got furniture that's caught fire. But Hashem, today, in today's world, most of these things don't catch fire so quickly, I must tell you. They don't, they're what? Fire resistant, yeah. A lot of these things are fire resistant, but still, it's very dangerous. By the way, I just saw one. The story actually, Chasham, someone's walking past the place, and let's say he gets caught, and some fire catches his baguette. The best thing to do, the Sefer says, obviously yeah. Practical thing, is to roll on the floor. The roll on the floor, that's the best way of getting rid of the fire, and it's the quickest way of doing it, probably.
Nothing
to
do with
what?
Nothing to do with
no, I'm saying on Shabbos you can do that. Obviously, Chasham, someone gets caught on fire. I mean, one must be very careful. I'm saying, again, I want to stress again, Rabbi, is there any sophic whatsoever of danger? You put the fire out straight away. No question. We're talking about only here, it was a small fire. Well, it could be in some, it could be in his back garden, the moshel. It could be someone's got his sheds on fire. L'chor, you got the same heter for mokum hester. L'chor, you got a heter to do a gram kibui. What you do is you put blags, unless it's someone's sukkah caught fire, it's not attached to the house, but someone's sukkah caught fire, it's away from the house. What you can do is you can put carrier bags, I don't know if it's going to work, put carrier bags full of water near the sukkah, and hopefully it'll do something when it'll put it out in some way. That's what you can do. That's the halacha over here. What? Yeah, there's not much you can do there. I actually did it once with a matzah, actually. I tried to, you know, some people, if you want to have a matzah sholim, I'm simply shy when you can do this, actually, when it works. But anyway, sometimes you've got a crack matzah. So we used to say that if you burn the edges with a match or a fire, and you make that sholim in its own way. That's what I mean. It's always got a broken matzah. So you take, what?
Seals it,
yeah. So I did it once on Yom Tov, actually, and my matzah caught fire. My whole matzah was on fire, so I was thinking, can I put it out? Anyway, by the time I looked up the halakha and everything, my matzah was gone. Now, it wasn't mamish there. It's an interesting question, because matzah kibbutz is not really mutter on Yom Tov, yeah? But, really, actually, tzorich oichon mamish, it is mutter. So the chayr, I would have been able to put it out, because here was tzorich oichon, I lost my whole matzah. The chayr, I didn't go into mamish part, but it's an interesting question over here, yeah? So my whole matzah got burnt. The whole ham matzah, I tried to make it sholim, and it was sholim in one way, it's completely gone. I lost all matzah. Right, that's one thing. The next thing that's also interesting is the moshe. Let's say someone's candle sits on the table, and the candle's burning, but it looks like it's tilting. And it's a good chance that it's going to fall onto the table. Yeah? So now, can you take an empty bowl and put it underneath that candle? Ah, so is that Mavagal Kedim Echola? Is that called Mavagal Kedim Echola? So perhaps it's not, because when the candle falls in, it'll probably go out, then you can empty the candle straight out. So the Chol, that should be okay, really, yeah?
So the Chol,
what's the mission? With water, well, we'll come with water, won't we? I'll talk about water in the morning. Yeah, so the mice and the violet we're talking about, can you put them
without water?
Yeah, an empty candle, what happens is the candle's tilting, yeah? So your water's going to fall over onto the table. That's right, with the thing. So the mice, you put an empty bowl underneath it. It's not the end of the world. It falls into the bowl. It'll go out by itself eventually, yeah? That's
what's the normal case of the
oil drilling? Why is that a problem? He's talking about another case. Another interesting shadow. I forgot to mention this. Also interesting cases over here. That's poshut, yeah? If someone's got oil in a container burning, if someone siphons out some of the oil, takes out some of that oil out of that container, that's an issur of kibui. Because that oil is meyuchad for that thing. Hu adin, says the Mishnah, if you've got a keli, let's say over here, someone told me once to have this, someone invented the menorah in case of yeshiva like this. This was the nair. For some reason, he decided to make a very fancy menorah. So he had a long pipe going down from the top with oil in it, dripping one drop at a time into here. Now, to take oil from the top of that keli out is a problem. Is that keli, all the oil in there is meyuchad for this keli. Therefore, that's called a kibui. Here, you're not doing anything. Now, as you're putting a bowl underneath the candlestick for it to fall, that's not a problem at all. Yeah? To put water in the candlestick,
in the bowl,
to put water in the bowl, that's a problem even, believe it or not, even on Erev Shabbos. Interesting how locha this. That means a person's got candles, and he knows sometimes the candles bend over, they might fall down. So on Erev Shabbos, what he wants to do is he wants to fill a bowl up, and he wants to put water in the bowl. Before Shabbos. Yeah, but that's on Shabbos. We're talking about before Shabbos now. There's no Vakal Kedim Echonah before Shabbos. We're talking about on Shabbos. We're talking about before Shabbos. No Vakal Kedim Echonah before Shabbos. So he wants to put a bowl of water underneath the candle that if it falls, it won't put it out. You can't do that. Do you know why? Actually, we're worried on Shabbos that he might see it leaning over. He might lift the bowl of water up towards the candle. That's called a kibbutz yadayim. So we don't allow it to fill a bowl of water up and leave it under a dropping candle. So the only thing is, the best thing to do is such thing that happens, is to put an empty bowl under it and let's see, let the candle, if it falls into there. Okay, what do you say?